Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation and technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at chumbacasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Vladimir Dutip, and welcome to CBS Mornings on the Go. Ahead on this Monday, June 1st, some hopeful news about one of the deadliest forms of cancer. A new study found an experimental pill helped patients survive twice as long compared to chemotherapy. Dr. John LaPook explains the treatment. Plus, we see a lot of ads for creatine. Is it really safe? The answer is yes for some and no for others. Dr. Celine Gounder breaks it all down. Also, supermodel Winnie Harlow joins us with her inspiring new book for kids about living with a difference. And we're joined by the very funny actor Anna Faris from Scary Movie, both the original and the new one out this week. And Monday means Beg Knows America. Today, David shares part of his candid conversation with the movie icon, Oscar nominee Sharon Stone. All that and more ahead.
We're going to begin with this, though. The new uncertainty about President Trump's plans to celebrate the country's 250th anniversary. Happy birthday to us. Now, there was meant to be a concert series. You've heard all about that. But most of the artists have canceled. Many say it's too partisan. Some even say they were misled about this concert. And now it's unclear if this concert will even happen at all. So in response, President Trump is now proposing a new headliner. Weisha Zhang is at the White House with the latest. Weisha, good morning. Could the initials be DJT as a new headliner?
Gail, how could you possibly guess that?
Just a guess.
Man, such a spoiler. Well, good morning to you. Good morning to everybody. President Trump says he is thinking about bringing in what he calls the, quote, number one attraction anywhere in the world to replace the concert. Yes, he is talking about himself and considering holding a big rally to kick off America's birthday bash instead of all that music.
After organizers of the Great American State Fair concert series announced several high-profile artists, including Martina McBride and Brett Michaels of Poison, headliners abruptly started pulling out. Michaels posting on Instagram, "Unfortunately, what was presented to us as a celebration of our country has evolved into something much more divisive than I agreed to be a part of." McBride said she thought it was a nonpartisan event, but that turned out to be misleading. Young MC, The Commodores, and Morris Day expressed similar sentiments. The group behind the event, Freedom 250, was launched by the Trump administration last year, separate from America 250, which is a bipartisan nonprofit throwing several official events. Now President Trump is suggesting Freedom 250 cancel the concerts altogether, posting, "I understand artists are getting the yips. We should have a giant Make America Great Again rally for 250 instead of having overpriced singers." Interior Secretary Doug Burgum was asked if the concerts still are taking place.
I don't know that that's going to be the case.
On X, Freedom 250 announced Trump will personally kick off this historic celebration in an opening ceremony celebrating America's 250th birthday.
Well, Vanilla Ice says he is honored to take the stage at Freedom 250, but it's still unclear if the organizers will replace all the other artists who dropped out or scrap the concerts altogether. Adriana?
All right, Rija, thank you so much. Today is the first day of the Atlantic hurricane season and a new day for the Hurricane Hunter planes that collect vital data. These planes flew into the eye of Hurricane Melissa last year. This year, they're using some new technology. CBS News meteorologist Rob Marciano has been checking it all out. He's at the headquarters of NOAA's Hurricane Hunters in Florida. Hey, Rob, what you learn?
Hey, forgive me for geeking out here, Adriana. This is an amazing place to be to see these aircraft up close. This is what the P3 that we showed you earlier just got a fresh paint job because they're celebrating their 50th anniversary this year of flying actually into hurricanes. They're all nicknamed. This one is Miss Piggy, by the way. Her counterpart is Kermit. He's doing some research out of Houston. All right, underneath the belly of this thing, we've got this radar that will scan horizontally. By the way, there are four turboprop propellers that power this thing. This thing originally was designed to be not a hurricane hunter, but a submarine hunter back in the 50s, knocking down Soviet subs potentially. All right, but now we've got all sorts of instrumentation. This stuff right here, that shoots down on the waves, kind of measures the wave heights and the winds. Because of that, each one of these holes has the ability to shoot out important instrumentation. And then kind of like a fighter pilot, each one of these hurricanes, you get a sticker when you fly through the eye of it, and over 100 just for this hurricane alone. You mentioned Melissa. This is a video out of Melissa from Kermit that went through in Jamaica earlier. And I caught up with a pilot this morning and asked him, why in the world would you fly into these hurricanes? Here's what he had to say.
These aircrafts are accountable for somewhere around 20 to 30% increase in accuracy within the actual storm forecast themselves.
So bottom line is we are getting a more accurate forecast because you're flying these planes into storms.
Yes, absolutely. Without these aircraft, we're a lot less capable of determining how much the storm is going to intensify and where it's going.
Brand new this year is this new technology. Guess what it is? It's a drone, and it comes right out of the back of this. Check out this cool animation that NOAA's put out. They drop it down. It gets into a parachute. It floats down a little bit, and then these wings will deploy. And what's different about this compared to the other instrumentation, which just dropped down through the storm vertically into the ocean, this can fly around for up to 2 hours and really get a good cross-section of the storm itself. And research has shown that this increases those predictions another 10 to 15 on top of the 30 that these planes do. So this year is the first time they actually go operational, feeding that important data into those computer models that in the end keep Americans safe. Exciting times. Hopefully it'll be a quiet season, but they've got the arsenal if it's not. Vlad, over to you.
Yeah, Rob, those Orion aircraft are so cool. I'm very jealous of you, my friend. Very cool. Thank you very much. A new drug is showing a lot of promise in treating one of the deadliest forms of cancer. A new study found an experimental pill helped patients survive twice as long compared to chemotherapy. One of those patients is former Senator Ben Sasse. In a recent 60 Minutes interview, he called the drug a miracle. Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. John Lapook is here to talk about this study. John, good morning.
Good morning.
So put this all in perspective for us. Why is this such a breakthrough, and how is this different than traditional chemotherapy?
So it's called daraxonrasib, tough to say, right? And you're doubling the survival time, median survival time, to about 13 months, a little bit more than 13 months, which may not sound like a lot, but if you're going from 6.7, it's a lot to that person.
Sure.
Now, it's not a cure. But the reason why it's so interesting, I heard it got a standing ovation at the national meetings over the weekend, is, you know, traditionally we give chemotherapy. It has a lot of side effects. It affects pretty much the entire body. This is targeted. You know, it was based on a discovery that there was a mutated protein called KRAS that turned on the cancer cells, that it was a cancer-driving type of abnormal protein. And for years, they were looking for a way to sort of turn it off, and they finally figured it out. And this is a first step. It's not a cure, mm-hmm. but it's very exciting because you're looking at a new way of treating.
All right. But the reality is there have been cutbacks in research at the National Institutes of Health. So what would that mean for drugs like this in the future?
Yeah, so I looked it up last night. You know, the basic discovery of the KRAS, it's called the KRAS mutation, was more than 40 years ago. It took 40 years ago to figure this out. It's so clever. I mean, there's a molecular glue that figures out how to turn the cancer-causing abnormal protein from the on switch to the off switch. It takes a long time. And when you think about all the cuts that there have been right now, the cuts that are happening right now, I spoke to Randy Bateman from Washington University in St. Louis about research, and he said, it's not like when you stop doing research on your construction on your kitchen, you run out of money, you say, okay, in 6 months, I'll pick it up. It's more like stopping feeding a baby. And the research we don't do today is going to affect drugs 30, 40 years in the future.
Wow. All right. Dr. John LaPook with that great news. Thank you very much.
It's time for a look at the stories, other stories that caught our eye. Adriana's moved over to the other side of the room to get us started. Hey, Adriana.
Hello. I popped over here for a second. So let's begin in France, where close to 800 people were arrested and 200 were injured all over a soccer match. It happened in the wake of this weekend's victory by Paris Saint-Germain in a European soccer championship. Thousands of fans took to the streets, some firing off flares, torching cars, even damaging stores. Vlad, what's up with the French?
Hey.
Yeah.
Mon Dieu.
La vache. La vache.
Mon Dieu.
Police used tear gas to try to control the crowds. French President Emmanuel Macron called the violence unacceptable. Pas acceptable.
Team did show up in Paris on Sunday for a big celebration. People were more chill.
I mean, just wait until the Knicks win and see what New York looks like, is all I'm saying. And a massive explosion shook New England over the weekend. Did you feel this? Listen to this. Turns out it was a meteor. There it is. NASA says the sonic boom happened after the out-of-the-world object broke up 40 miles above Earth. And its energy, the energy that it released, was equal to about 300 tons of TNT.
Wow.
The agency reports that the pieces fell into Cape Cod Bay. By the way, the term for a meteor that lands in the water is, wait for it, a fishy squisher.
All right.
Is that real?
That's what it says. Okay. And I trust the people that wrote it.
I love the dog barking. Yeah, not even quite sure what is happening, but he knows something is
when you
wrong.
See animals who are like, what just happened? You got to run.
But you know, a little meteor like that made that much of a ruckus. That says something. It what does. If it's bigger? Yeah. The big one.
I've seen that movie, Vlad.
Exactly.
Not good. All right.
Oh, man.
A day on the high seas for some pirate-loving partygoers in Turkey took quite the turn. Take a look at this. Video shows the packed ship sinking on Friday, forcing some on board to jump into the water. 148 people, including 20 children, were on that ship. They were all rescued, thankfully, and taken ashore. The boat sank within an hour. Some passengers say they saw the engine catch fire, so that could be what happened. Authorities say no one was hurt. And finally, let's set the scene. It's the bottom of the eighth in extra innings. UCLA versus Texas Tech in a high-stakes elimination match at the Women's Softball College World Series. Everything is on the line when all of a sudden, this happened.
Victoria Valdez just stopped Caitlin Terry. The sprinklers are going off!
I love this announcer. The sprinklers are going off. Luckily, the game was only delayed for a few minutes. In the end, Texas Tech did beat UCLA to head to the semifinals. And guess what song they played over the speakers while the sprinkles were going off?
It's Raining Men.
Oh, that would have been a good one. They did Rihanna's Umbrella.
Also good. Thank you, Adriana. Over the last several months, the CBS News investigative unit has followed the government crackdown on criminals who steal from taxpayers. That's not nice. They commit fraud targeting hospice, daycare, and food assistance programs. So this morning, we're taking a look at how prosecutors are trying to figure out where is all that money going. Adam Yamaguchi takes us inside the case of one convicted fraudster.
In the Southern California warehouse, a fresh haul of exotic cars paid for by defrauding American taxpayers.
I've seen over a dozen Ferraris, Lamborghinis, a Bugatti, Lotus.
LA's top federal prosecutor, Bill Osele, showed us around this U.S. Marshal's warehouse.
It should offend every American taxpayer that these people are taking advantage of the system and enriching themselves.
These items had been owned by Paul Randall, who pleaded guilty this year in one of the largest Medi-Cal fraud cases in California history.
He submitted above $270 million worth of claims to the state of California.
Authorities say that money paid for Kobe Bryant game-worn sneakers, baseball cards of Jackie Robinson and Mickey Mantle, and this home, one of seven properties Randall owned.
Let me tell you what a piece of work this Randall guy was. He's got six prior convictions for fraudulent conduct.
Who's responsible for the breakdown of the system?
Obviously, there's a breakdown in the criminal justice system. If this guy was able to have six convictions and never did any real prison time.
We turned up a private driveway.
He was living like a king off of us.
Climbing into an exclusive corner of Orange County.
It's 8 bedrooms, 10 bathrooms.
In other cases, prosecutors believe some of the money not spent on luxury goods is sent overseas.
It's much more difficult, if not impossible, for us to trace it or recover it.
Investigating government fraud is a priority for Haywood Talkove. He's been warning officials about scams for 2 decades.
U.S. taxpayers lose $1 trillion a year to these criminal groups.
Where's it going?
It goes to Russia. It goes to China. It goes to Nigeria. It goes to Romania.
By his estimate, of that $1 trillion, roughly 70% ends up in the hands of transnational criminal gangs.
Taxpayers are funding transnational criminals who are using this money for horrible things.
Cars, cards, compounds. This is what fraud looks like after it's already happened. Esaly and Talkove agree.
That is why it is so important that the money never goes out in the first place.
Now, it's worth noting the stolen taxpayer money is meant to help people in need through various government programs. Now, Randall faces up to 30 years in prison when he's sentenced in August. He did not want to talk to us for the story. Vlad?
Adam, as always, excellent investigation. Kudos to you and the team. Really, really job well done. Appreciate it.
In this morning's Health Watch, we're looking at a supplement you may have seen in ads on social media. By some estimates, sales of creatine reached more than $500 million in the U.S. last year. While it's typically used by athletes, more older adults are taking it, hoping to protect their muscles and brains. But is it safe? CBS News medical correspondent Dr. Celine Gallagher joins us. She's also editor-at-large for public health at KFF Health News. So, Celine, I remember taking creatine like back in the late 90s because I was hanging out in the gym reading Men's Health and Muscle and Fitness, helped you bulk up a little. But I never knew what it was. Like, what is it? And actually, how does it work?
Could I just say the part when I walked in, I heard Vlad going, and I look good. Say that
and
part, Vlad.
And he looked good back in the 90s.
Say that part, Vlad.
I think he still looked good.
And I look good.
I had some muscles back then.
Well, that was the marketing of the era, right? Men's Health Magazine and so on. So a lot of what we're seeing now is marketing. So I found just on Instagram and TikTok hundreds of videos promoting creatine for brain health, for memory, for anti-aging. But it's important to understand that many of those creators are selling creatine through TikTok shop or affiliate links. And so here we're going to show you some TikTok posts. One is from a doctor overpromising while monetizing. And another is from
a doctor. This is a doctor.
One's a doctor. One's a lifestyle creator who's also selling creatine. And so this is not just people advertise or promoting something out of the goodness of their heart. They're also making money off of this. And the reason creatine actually has gained traction and resonates is because there is some real science behind this. So it helps muscles produce energy during intense exercise, which is why people often take it right around the time they exercise. And there's evidence that it helps older adults hold on to their muscle mass, which is a real issue as you're aging, and their strength. There's early research on brain health. But because of all these reasons, the problem is that the people drawn to taking creatine are older adults who are more likely to be on medications. And those are, in fact, the people who need to be most careful about taking
it. So is it safe for the general public? Should people take it recreationally or should they talk to their doctor before taking it?
So for most healthy people, yes, it looks safe. The long-term study is out to 5 years, looks safe. If you're taking the standard 3 to 5 grams a day, this is not a steroid, but there are specific groups of people who do need to be careful.
Is there a best way and time to take it? Because that video just showed her chalky spitting it out. That doesn't look so appetizing.
Well,
should I get some? Go
ahead. Well, around the time that you exercise, but I think it's really important for people to understand that people with kidney disease, people with diabetes, people with high blood pressure, and again, those are more likely as you get older, those people need to be very careful because creatine can put stress on your kidneys and all those conditions can increase the risk of that. People with bipolar disorder. In one trial, 12% of people who switched into mania who were taking creatine. 12% is not small percentage.
Not small. No, that's not.
And another thing people miss is that creatine raises your level of creatinine, which is how doctors measure your kidney function. It's a blood test. And so if you're taking
creatine. It's really important that you tell your doctor.
Yeah.
Okay, Dr. Gounder, with all of the advice, as always, thank you so much. Our next guest is global supermodel and entrepreneur Winnie Harlow. Coming up, she'll tell us about inspiring young people to embrace their differences. Can't wait for that. We'll be right back.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Supermodel Winnie Harlow is known for her memorable runway walks. Have you seen the way she struts down the runway? Look at her.
Wow.
For the top designers, yes, and her fashion magazine covers. So Harlow is also a beauty entrepreneur with her inclusive skin brand, K-Skin, and now she's adding a new title. It's called Author. Wow. Harlow is publishing her very first children's book. It's called Simply Winnie. Follows Winnie, who is an artist, and fashion is her paintbrush. We make it very easy for you to get this book. You scan the QR code on your screen to buy a copy. We're very happy to say that Winnie Harlow and her sunny self joins us in the studio. Winnie, it's always good to see
good
you.
Morning. Good morning.
I love what you did with this book, because I have to say, I picked it up and I thought, okay, she's going to be writing about vitiligo. And the whole time I'm reading, I'm going, where's that part? Where's that part? So you intentionally did not do it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, bravo you. What was your thinking?
So when I was growing up, I was a really avid reader. I loved reading books, but all the books that I found that had to do with a child with difference were very on the nose. Mm. And I felt, from my experience, I always felt I was beautiful. I knew I was unique, but my grandmother, my mother raised me to be confident and proud of who I was. And I realized I have so many other stories and experiences that maybe were challenging that had to do outside of my skin. And I feel like that should be represented for children all over the world.
Yeah, did you feel different than the other kids, or did your grandmother say it doesn't matter? What was your thinking? Because kids can be so mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally.
For sure, yeah. I feel like I didn't realize how different I was until I went to school, until kids said things. And so with this book, I wanted to create a world where everyone was very unique and everybody has a difference, but the storyline isn't about that. Yes. There's so many other things in that world.
Yes.
How would little Winnie feel about seeing herself in this book?
Oh my gosh. I think that she would cry, you know? Like, growing up, I always felt like I was the only person in the world with vitiligo, because I had never met anyone with vitiligo. And now being able to, you know, not only meet, but be able to encourage other people with vitiligo who now get to have a different experience. You know, like, I didn't see anyone on billboards or see anyone representing me, but knowing that other kids who look like me get someone to, you know, look up to is, I mean, a dream come true.
Yeah, what I also love is any kid with any difference, or anyone at all, because every kid feels different,
absolutely,
right? Everyone will see themselves in
absolutely
this book.
And it's not just about physical differences,
right,
either.
That's the point that I want to hit, which is, and Adriana's right, I mean, as a kid myself who grew up feeling very different from other children because of the way that I express myself, this book is about self-expression and being unapologetically yourself.
Absolutely.
Why is that important to you?
It's important to me because beauty is skin deep, you know? It's really about the person who you are on the inside, and it's about honoring your heart and your soul, you know? It's more important to live your truth from the inside than it is anything that is physical or on the outside.
You've also launched your own skincare line. What made you
K-Skin.
K-Skin was really important.
Were you just playing around with different creations, different potions, and said, I know what works.
The thing is, I only do things that really speak to my spirit. And so obviously this book has a lot to do with healing that inner child within me and helping other kids to heal themselves. But also when it came to K-Skin, I found that there wasn't a lot of SPF on the market that worked on all skin tones. And as someone who has multiple skin tones, I need it to work on me, but I want it to work on everyone. Yeah. And so K-Skin was birthed to create a protection from the sun for every skin under the sun.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I need some.
Yeah,
can we talk about Top Model?
Sure.
Oh my gosh, so amazing a Top Model.
And of course, said if we have to.
She said, sure. Well, you know about the documentary reality check Inside America's Next Top Model, and there were accusations of bullying. What was your reaction to that when you saw that?
Well, I kind of mainly seen things online, but honestly, I was 18 when I was on the show. It was so long ago. I don't really have a reaction to it because I don't really pay attention that much to it. I kind of just...
Was that your experience? I think is a legit question. Was that your experience?
I mean, it was so long ago. It was so long ago.
All right. Let's talk about something that wasn't so long ago. Devil Wears Prada.
Yes.
I got the biggest kick when I was looking, because part of the fun of watching that movie was seeing the different cameos. And when you came up, how did that come about, Winnie? I thought that was great to see you in that.
They asked me to be a part of it, and I was
flabbergasted. Did you even know what it was about? What you'd be doing. Yeah.
Her role.
Yeah. I knew when they asked me, but I just... Okay. Think about it this way.
Yeah.
When I was coming up and Devil Wears Prada, when I was growing up, it came out, biggest fashion film, all these things. I was nowhere near the fashion industry at that point. There was not even an inkling of me being like who I am today. And so to be asked to be a part of the second one of a huge fashion film, it also is, it makes me really proud to show like what I've done in the fashion industry that you would even think of me.
It doesn't surprise me that it's thought of you, but it sure was great to see you.
You were fire. Also fire. Can I just like that bling that you're talking about blinding by the light? Look at
with
that.
With you and Kyle, you're engaged. How did you two meet? We're very excited about this.
We met
the way he talks about you is
Go
ahead.
We met actually, officially kind of met during Fashion Week in 2019, and then he DM'd me, I missed it.
He DM'd you. Yeah, slipped into those DMs, Winnie.
Yes. Okay. I missed it though, and I saw that he posted me on his story, and he, you know, I responded back to him like, hey, what was that? And it was during the pandemic at this time, so we had a lot of time to get to know each
other. We're so happy for you guys.
Thank you.
Can't wait for the wedding. Winnie Harlow,
congrats.
Always great to have you. Congratulations. Simply Winnie is on sale right now. Scan the QR code on your screen to buy it tomorrow.
Dr. Anna Faris, more than 25 years ago in her breakthrough role in the original horror parody film, Scary Movie. Now Faris is back as Cindy Campbell in the sixth installment of the franchise. Here's a preview.
The killer is taunting me. Why doesn't he just kill us?
Speak for yourself.
Like, what are you waiting for?
Oh, no, sweetie, it's like this.
What are you waiting for, huh? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for?
Show them how it's done. Anna and Anna Faris.
That's right. We're back.
We're back. And so good. I mean, when you first appear in the first scene, there's like an aura that you embody and you're like, oh, the queen has arrived.
Oh.
How did it feel for you returning to this?
Unbelievable, because I always thought so the Wayans brothers after Scary Movie 2 had the franchise taken away. I went on to do Scary Movie 3 and 4. I wasn't invited to do Scary Movie 5, but every like few years, a studio executive would like call my agent. There was like talk of a revival.
Uh-huh.
I always thought I would be a cameo and that I would get paid a lot, but not enough.
Sometimes not enough to make me feel great. Yeah.
And there was always a bittersweet feeling towards that I had about that chapter in my life. It was my introduction to Hollywood. And I had never done comp. I had never done anything. Scary Movie was my first audition. When I
Your first audition?
Yes.
What did you think was going to come of it, Anna? Did you have any hopes or expectations?
Oh, no, no, nothing. Every single moment was new. Like, I was just taking it all in. I get nervous for that girl that I see there because my life changed. I was just going to dip my toe, see if
see how it goes.
L.A., and suddenly I got the lead in this spoof comedy, which then defined the next 26 years of my life.
And it's off to the races. I mean, well, that girl back there is now a grown-ass woman. And
I'm ready to fight.
And Adriana said, when we first see you, because we first see you and she's got this crazy hair, and they said, this is a cleaning woman who has run out of conditioner. Can we please look at her? This is a cleaning woman who has run out of conditioner.
It's true.
What do you make of this lady now? That line was so hilarious to me.
Thank you. Cindy Campbell took quarantine very seriously from, 2000 to 2020 to like 2026, essentially.
Yeah.
She went down the rabbit hole. Yeah. She spent a lot of time alone. And she forgot that she had kids, of course. But this reunion, when Marlon called me in February of 2025 and he said, we got our franchise back.
Wow. And we want you to be a part.
Yeah.
Yes.
How did that
Marlon Wayans, what did that feel like?
Because I didn't know how they felt about me. Hmm. You know, I went on to do, I was a part of the franchise that was taken away from them.
Right.
Yes.
And I had always thought about Kenan Ivory Wayans, who cast me, who's a brilliant man, and I never had an opportunity to like properly thank him for all the love that I had felt, not from Hollywood towards the franchise, but from people all, for 26 years, feeling the love.
Did you instantly know you wanted to do that, Anna, when they asked you, or did you think, well?
Oh, no, it was instant.
Instantly knew, I want to do this.
Did you talk to them about how you felt a little bit unsure about how they may have felt about you?
Yeah, eventually, when I worked up the courage.
What did they say?
You know, we did, as soon as I saw Marlon in person, I hugged him and I looked him in the eyes and I said, I love you. I am so grateful to be here. Mm. I can't believe we get to do this again. Aww. And we're at the very end of our press tour. I am still feeling so euphoric. I can't believe
you came in here
that way.
Yeah, you came in here and you told us how just grateful you were just to be here.
Yes.
Because you said to me, there was a time after Scary Movie when you felt that you were getting older and you weren't getting calls from producers or executives.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I ever got those calls, but it felt like my opportunities were thinning out. And I just never could have conceived of this. It feels to me like a bit of a personal revival.
Yeah.
I
love this for you, Anna, to show people, look, I still love doing it and I'm still good at it.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think that's such an important message to say.
And the Wayans brothers think you're good at it.
Yes.
Thanks. Yeah. And it was incredible to to make a scary movie without being terrified.
Yes. And to not be terrified. Like, I appreciate that.
And there are so many different surprises that we won't reveal, which is also adds to the fun of this movie. But Regina Hall said that this new installment, she said, is boundary pushing and will offend everyone.
We need more of.
Do you agree? Yes.
Oh, and nobody delivers offense better than Cindy Campbell and Brenda Meeks and the Wayans brothers, Ray and Shorty. We can deliver it with love.
I mean, that's a tease for the film, right there,
where you're cracking yourself up.
I know.
It's going to be good.
You guys must have broken character so many times.
I thought about that, too.
Oh, my gosh. It's insane.
That'd be a fun set.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure to have you here. Scary Movie is in theaters this Friday. Go see it. The film was distributed by Paramount Pictures, which is part of our parent company.
All right, coming up, David Begnaud reveals a revealing conversation with Sharon Stone. The Hollywood legend shares a lesson about the power of standing up for yourself. We'll be right back.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to CBS Mornings. It's time to bring you the stories that are talk of the table this morning. And Gail, you're up first.
Okay. My talk of the table is this weekend, Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Runway Show. This was in South Beach with a star-studded lineup. So this is what's so great about Sports Illustrated, the swimsuit edition, what they do. They showcase a wide range of beautiful beach bodies, including Olympic rugby player and social media star, that's Alona Mara on your screen, model and actress Brooks Nader, who's in the Baywatch reboot, You Go Brooks, also strutted her stuff down the runway. And then there is a stunning, adore Lizzo. Stunning everybody with her performance. Not only did she strut the runway, she also performed. Her new music is coming out actually this week. So cheering for her. And then Tiffany Haddish, look at Tiffany Strutt, who was Sports Illustrated cover star last month. They choose four different covers and she made the cover. And she was telling me that she had no idea she was going to make the cover because they don't tell you. When she found out that she was on the cover, she said, thrilled. It was sort of like a dream of a lifetime for her. And she looks good.
Amazing. Did you give her advice?
No, I gave her no advice. None. But she looks so good.
Because Gail was a swimsuit.
Because, exactly. Gail was a cover model
as well.
That was fun.
It was good.
That was fun.
Okay, so my talk of the table is about a startup that wants to clean your home for free.
Uh-oh.
But of course, there's a catch.
Uh-oh.
So the cleaners wear cameras on their heads because the video will be used to train household robots powered by AI. Anyone getting
a Denson?
But
then they see all your stuff.
They see all your
stuff. How bad it is.
That's what they want to see your stuff.
How messy you are.
They want to see how people live and how the robots can be trained. So the chores range from folding laundry to washing dishes to even scrubbing the bathroom. The company called Shift offered those free cleaning services to New York City residents last week. So would you guys take up a free cleaning service?
We're not that messy.
But it's also like your personal stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I remember when I was hiring a cleaning service, I felt like I had to clean up before they came.
Always. So the cleaning lady's coming.
Yeah,
quick.
Let me make it look so she doesn't think I'm totally crazy.
Exactly.
But I could see where a lot of people would do it.
Yeah,
would you
do it?
No.
It's free.
It's free if I clean myself.
In this economy, I'd do it.
You know what? I enlisted my children to help me clean the bathroom yesterday. They get excited to spray.
That's because you're Dominican. Yeah,
that's true.
Put them to work.
You know
that's what I tell Marion all the time. When I'm out there raking the leaves, I'm like, clearly you didn't grow up in a house where the chores were yours every weekend.
Chores were a family affair.
That's the thing, man.
That's love, baby.
All right. My talk of the table is a big shout out to my 21-year-old nephew, Gabriel Simmons. So last week, Gabriel had his debut MMA kickboxing bout for Freedom Fighter Promotions in Philadelphia, fighting at 165 pounds. Look at him, in the red.
Where
is he? Okay, he's in the red. Look at that.
Wow.
Defeated 38-year-old Chris Cooper.
Wow.
In a three-round unanimous decision.
Vlad, how old is he?
21 years old.
Wow.
We are all so proud of
Gabriel.
So as I watch him doing his thing in the ring against a very formidable opponent, I didn't know you could have 8-pack. Like, that's Gabriel with an 8-pack.
He's got it. Yeah.
But my mind drifted back to this little guy who I met the very first week that he was born. That's me changing his diaper.
Oh, Vlad.
Yes.
head.
He's always been tough. He wrestled. He played hockey his whole life. There he is as a hockey player. But look at this little guy.
This is the Gabriel this I remember is... when you would show us photos.
Yes.
I can't believe that man is.
This is the little guy who has become
he looks
this
great.
Beast of an athlete. And check out these videos of him training for the fight. He looks amazing. Look at that.
Wow. Have you asked him to give you tips?
Gail.
No, I'm just asking. No shade.
I have been a martial artist my whole life, and he actually asked me, are you still doing martial arts? And I'm like, yeah, I think that I'd like to think that he was inspired by his big old uncle.
What does he call you?
Uncle Mimi.
Uncle Aww. Mimi, okay,
yeah, that's
what nice. They call me. Uncle Mimi. Isn't
Mimi kitten? Mimi is cat. I was called like the big
the cat?
Large Uncle cat Mimi. When I was
okay,
a baby.
I like
we
that.
Can tell you're very proud.
And his parents, nice. His mom, Erica, my sister, Chris, I don't know if we have a picture of them. They're very proud Aww. Of him. His little brother, Oliver, we're all very
proud. We're all so proud. Yes.
Did you clear this with John Tower? He loves it when we show family
He loves
family
it when we
photos.
Talk about our family.
I've heard.
Pictures, right?
Hollywood history was made this week. Have you heard about this? YouTuber Kane Parsons is his name. His debut movie, the psychological thriller Backrooms, earned a whopping, listen to this number, $81.5 million in its opening weekend. Wow. Now, what makes this so historic is that the director, and listen to this part too, is 20 years old. You go, Kane Parsons, whoever you are. That's amazing. The project is inspired by an online trend created by the fans, and its success could change the future of Hollywood. Carter Evans tells us all about it.
Backrooms dominated the weekend box office with an $81.5 million debut.
Hello?
The A24 sci-fi thriller in which a strange doorway to an alternate dimension appears in the basement of a furniture showroom is based on the web series of the same name. Originally created by 20-year-old Kane Parsons, who's now the youngest director to score a number one hit.
Generally speaking, the journey of going from that original short into a YouTube series, into getting a film adaptation, I don't know, it's been like a pretty seamless, smooth, comfortable process to get here.
And Parsons isn't the only wunderkind to successfully transition from computer screen to silver screen.
I'm gonna go get some shots.
I'll come with you.
You only get one wish.
Over the weekend, Backrooms was trailed by the horror film Obsession. Created by another YouTuber, 26-year-old Curry Barker, it brought in $26.4 million, and that's a 10% jump from the weekend prior, which was already up 39% from its opening weekend in mid-May.
It's weird how you two are dating all of a sudden.
Strap in. Both indie films beat Disney's Star Wars spin-off The Mandalorian and Grogu, which brought in just $25 million on its second weekend in theaters, down from $81.6 million during its debut. Actor and filmmaker Mark Duplass, who stars in Backrooms, called the indie film's success a glimmer of hope for the industry.
We've got an example of creators woodshedding things, putting them online, building an audience, and now the people with the purse strings are going to notice probably a little bit sooner because they see what they can do at the box office, you know, in the form of these two films that are overperforming.
For CBS Mornings, I'm Carter Evans in Hollywood.
I so love a success story
Me
like
too.
This. Now, I was told, or I read rather, that the budget was $10 million.
Yep. Wow.
Made $81 million the first. I'd never even heard of this movie, but now don't we want to meet Kane Parsons?
100%. Yes. And what Mark Duplass is saying is absolutely right, that you can now see that there are so many creative people out there and the barriers to entry are no longer in place.
Yes.
You have a great idea. Generally in the horror or psychological thriller space.
It's good. It's good.
As long as you have a good production company. I mean, A24 is like as great as
they
it
know
gets.
What they're
they know
doing.
What they're doing. Exactly right.
Congrats. It's Monday. You know what that means? It's time for Beg Knows America, where CBS News contributor, that's David Begno, finds a heart in every story. I'm telling you, he always delivers. This week, no exception. This week, David brings us a preview of his podcast conversation with the legendary actor, that would be Sharon Stone. A warning, a heads up here. Some people might find parts of this interview very upsetting. David, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Gail. Look, she's an international movie star, but when we sat down to talk, I didn't want to talk about the fame. I wanted to talk about the person who believed in her before she was famous. And for her, the person who believed in her is her father. And their relationship over the course of his life was not without its drama.
My dad was quite a fantastic guy, super empathetic, really. He was so sophisticated and tough and smart and cool.
Yet tender and vulnerable.
Yes. Well, if you really think about his personality, he really was, he had that touch of kings. He was such a gentleman. Like, he would never let someone be bullied. He would never let someone be racially profiled or profiled by their gender or their gender choices or nothing. He would never let a woman be sworn in front of, or, you know, he was the guy who stood up when a woman entered the room. He pulled my mother's chair out for dinner every night. I mean, he was so chivalrous and yet so tough for a guy who was a laborer in a machine shop. And yet he was incredibly handsome, incredibly mannered.
In many ways, he was a girl dad before we had a phrase for it.
Yeah, and he was very much, like, he would yell at me when I was playing and have me come in. You're letting those boys win because you want them to like you. Knock it off.
You have two brothers. Was he as hard on you as he was on your brothers?
He was harder on me than he was my younger brother, because I made him knock it off, finally. I really finally confronted him when I was 14.
About?
Because he was a hitter.
Oh.
You know, if you didn't do it, it was like the great Santini. I mean,
he hit you too?
Oh, yeah. He would throw me down a flight of stairs and then the belt would come off. You know?
Oh.
Boom, that belt would come off.
Gotcha.
And then I would get a real whipping.
Gotcha.
You know, and finally at 14, I told him off. I really told him off. I remember specifically that he was yelling at me to come down those stairs right goddamn now. Mm. And I came down the stairs like the Queen of France, like one step at a time, and then walked up to his face and said, "Why? Do you need to hit me some more to feel like a man? Is that what's going on here? Because if you do, let's get with it. But I will never love you again. I'm done."
And what did he say?
He cried.
He cried. He cried.
He cried. And he went, "Go to your room."
Interesting.
And he never hit anybody again.
Really?
It was over. And then we started talking. He would talk to me. He stopped hitting. He never hit anyone ever again.
Wow.
And we became very close.
You have never seen a conversation with Sharon Stone like we had. That's a clip from the conversation from my podcast, The Person Who Believed in Me, which is streaming right now wherever you get your podcasts. And Sharon Stone is currently appearing in Euphoria, which is on HBO. Guys?
Well, I have to say, David, that took a turn for me. When the name of it is A Person Who Believed in Me, I wouldn't have thought, after going through that with her dad, that that's who she would have picked, talking about what a great guy he was. That was a surprise to me.
From doing the show, Gail, I have learned that even when it comes to the person who believed in you in life, life is complex, right?
Yes.
Arthur Brooks, our CBS News contributor, taught me that. Not complicated, but complex.
Yep.
So true.
Very much so. Looking forward to that. David, thank you very much. Always good to see you. That'll do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on CBS Mornings. We call it your favorite morning show. Yeah, I said it.
I agree.